With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as I said, we learn to tell these two stories about our lives, our faith journey and our call story. And they overlap a lot, and it's kind of hard to tease them apart at first, but as you tell them over and over again, you realize that there are so many ways to tell the same story. It just depends on what group of people you're speaking with and what your purpose is and what your focus is. So if you ask me to tell you my call story tomorrow, it'll come out sounding something different. But here's how it sounds today. My parents tell me that when I was about 5 years old, I came home from school one day. We were living in Australia, and in the public schools there, they allow volunteers to come in to the school and give religious instruction, basic Jewish and Christian kind of morals and some Bible teaching. Apparently, I came home from school one day and told my parents, "I think we should start going to church." I have no memory of this, but they assure me that that's what happened. When I was a child, I had a sense of God as being present everywhere, and especially in rainbows and butterflies. Those for me were the two symbols of God, but also real manifestations of God's presence in my life. And to this day, every time I see a rainbow or a butterfly, I have a sense of God's presence with me. As I moved into my teenage years, I had a sense that I wanted to do something important, something useful and meaningful and helpful with my life. And I loved my English classes. I loved to read from a very early age. And as I moved into high school and began reading the classics and all kinds of literature, I thought that maybe teaching English would be a good and important way to use my gifts and passions to help others in the world, to help young people connect with an ability to communicate and with a sense of a larger purpose in the world. I had become active in a youth group when I was in seventh grade. I was part of a production of Godspell, and so really enjoyed seeing that a couple of weeks ago again. And so my faith was something that had obviously begun taking root early on before I was fully aware of what it meant. But when I got to high school, I really stopped attending worship. It wasn't working for me. It wasn't connecting with my heart and my spirit. Instead of coming up to worship, because my parents were now on my instructions as a young child, bringing us to church every week, so in high school I stopped going to worship, but I volunteered in the church nursery every week and held the babies and played with the toddlers. And I had a sense that although I was not in the worship service, I was offering a service to God that was a meaningful act of faith for me at that time. As I went into college then, I continued believing that the best way for me to live out my gifts and my desire to be useful in the world was as an English teacher. I got into the teacher certification program and took my English classes and my education classes, and they were good, but I also got involved in the Wesley Foundation, the United Methodist Campus Ministry. And in the Wesley Foundation, I found a community of friends and peers, and also a campus minister who became a mentor and role model for me, who really provided a wonderful, safe space for me to ask all of the questions that I had, where I studied the Bible. I did disciple Bible study for 2 years, and finally had some sense of all of the weird and wonderful things that are in the Bible. I was part of the worship team, which was called the Living Word. and I began to develop this sense of joy in finding the Word of God in the words of the Bible and then proclaiming that and living that out in a living and contemporary and meaningful way as a college student, as a young person in my late teens and early 20s. I also, while I was in college, I went to a conference called Celebrate. I had spent a couple of weeks the summer before my senior year on a trip to Cuba and Venezuela through the Council for Ecumenical Student Christian Ministry. And as part of a follow-up to that trip, the group of us who went presented a workshop on our experience at this conference called Celebrate. And the poem that is our thought for meditation today was a poem that I was introduced to in a sacred dance workshop. We learned to do sacred dance not only to music, but to spoken word. And that is a poem that has really stayed with me as capturing not just that Christianity is a faith that comes from the past, but that this is a way of life in Jesus Christ and the presence of God that opens us up to new possibilities and really brings new life into our lives as they exist. The theme of that conference, that Celebrate conference, was Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And we heard the Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa speak about his experiences and his vision of how God was at work in the world, even in times of oppression and bringing people together for the work of justice and reconciliation. It was a very powerful experience among many that I had while I was in college. In college, I also began to explore a sense of maybe ordained ministry was something that I should consider. Maybe there was another way for me to use my gifts other than teaching English, which I still believe is a wonderful and important thing to do in the world. But as I discovered that there were other passions and other ways for me to live out my gifts, I started listening to the little nudges that I was getting that maybe I should consider working in the church and working in Christian settings specifically for justice and for a better society. After college, I, as a kind of a follow-up to my brief visit to Venezuela, I spent a year doing volunteer work there, teaching English, working in a home for abandoned children, working for a disaster relief agency and a human rights organization. And it was one of the best and one of the hardest years of my life. There were some really wonderful experiences of community, of finding others who were living out their faith by working for justice, and also finding that there were some things that I was not called to do or created to do, that working with the children was wonderful but exhausting, and working for an organization that was Pentecostal and took the Bible literally really presented some challenges as I was wrestling with what I believed about God, about humanity, about the Bible. And so I found that sometimes the doors that close can reveal as much or more as the doors that open. As I prepared to return to the States from Venezuela, I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had kind of put off becoming a full-time classroom teacher. I wasn't really sure about ministry yet. And in a conversation with my friend Carlos before I left Venezuela, he offered me some wisdom. And he said, you know, when you come to a crossroads, you can sit by the side of the road and wait for a sign, but you can be waiting an awful long time. So sometimes the better choice is to pick one path and follow it and see how it turns out, trusting that God is good and that if it is not the right path or if it's only the right path for a short time, there will be an opportunity to turn around or to take a different path down the road. So I came back to the States. I moved to Boston. I found a job working for a nonprofit organization. And I found an additional part-time job as the young adult ministry coordinator and contemporary worship leader for a church in the Boston area. And again, began to feel my spirit being moved to think about working concretely in a Christian setting in a way that I could be talking about and writing about my faith and helping other people to connect with faith, people who maybe had been turned off by Christianity or by their experience of the church. And so after a year and a half, I decided that what I really wanted to do was to be a writer, and that I wanted to write in a faith-oriented way. And so to do that, I decided it would be a good idea to go to seminary. I applied to a couple of different schools, and ILEF School of Theology out here in Denver has a Justice and Peace Studies program, and frankly, they offered the best financial aid, and so I moved to Denver, which was a wonderful choice, and honestly, I can't imagine how things could have turned out any better had I chosen a different path. While I was in ILEF, I had applied to be accepted into one of the academic degrees that ILEF offers, with just a focus on kind of head learning, not so much the practice of ministry. But the first day that I was there, I already knew that that wasn't going to be enough. And so my first question at orientation was, how do I switch degree programs to get into the Master of Divinity? And so in that first year, I was in a process of more intentional discernment. We read a book by Parker Palmer called Let Your Life Speak, which is the title of my story today. And in that book, Parker Palmer, who is a Quaker, an educator, an author, he describes the Quaker understanding of how way opens before you. And that is if you are praying and listening for God's guidance, when the time is right, way opens, the path becomes clear. And he also talks about sometimes you don't get a sense of where way is opening, but you get a sense of way closing behind you. And that can be instructive too. And at the end of my year, my first year at ILEF, I took the United Methodist Doctrine class to see whether intellectually I could really be on board with working for the United Methodist Church, and found that I could. Really appreciated the sense that John Wesley had of bringing together all the different strands of theology that were kind of floating around in the atmosphere at the time that he lived in the 18th century, bringing together intellectual understanding and emotional and spiritual experience and working with the poor and those in need and working for justice in the world. And so at the end of that class, I spent some time in prayer, really seeking to know God's guidance. And as part of that discernment, I read a section in the Book of Discipline. For those of you who may be newer to the Methodist faith, this is our book of church doctrine, law, and organization. It is not light reading, and it's not your typical beach read, but I was considering whether I was called to ministry, and I read the description of the ministry of a deacon, and it spoke to me. I felt my heart strangely warmed, as John Wesley once wrote, by this description. From among the baptized, deacons are called by God to a lifetime of servant leadership, authorized by the church and ordained by a bishop. Deacons fulfill servant ministry in the world and lead the church in relating the gathered life of Christians to their ministries in the world, interrelating worship in the gathered community with service to God in the world. Deacons give leadership in the church's life, in teaching and proclaiming the word, in contributing to worship, and in assisting the elders in administering the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, in forming and nurturing disciples, in conducting marriages and burying the dead, in embodying the church's mission to the world, and in leading congregations in interpreting the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world. For the sake of extending the mission and ministry of the church, a pastor in charge or district superintendent may request that the bishop grant local sacramental authority to the deacon to administer the sacraments in the absence of an elder. It is the deacons, in both person and function, whose distinctive ministry is to embody, articulate, and lead the whole people of God in its servant ministry. From the earliest days of the church, deacons were called and set apart for the ministry of love, justice, and service, of connecting the church with the most needy, neglected, and marginalized among the children of God. This ministry grows out of the Wesleyan passion for social holiness and ministry among the poor. Here was a statement that brought together my love of the church and my awareness of the great needs of the world for justice and love and compassion. And so I decided at that point to pick up the ministry inquiry process that I had initially begun in college and to pursue ordination wholeheartedly and fully. And since then, I've had many twists and turns in my path. Highlands has been a consistent part of my journey for 6 years now, and I am grateful and blessed to be here. And so I just want to share a couple of final reflections with you. The first is that the three hymns that we have sung today, Joyful, Joyful, the Servant Song, and we'll close with Here I Am, Lord, were chosen because they have been significant to me at different points along my journey. Joyful, Joyful, and the Ode to Joy that it's based on, was the very first tune that I learned to play on piano. And so that was the beginning of my musical journey. The Servant Song is a hymn that was in our hymnal in Australia and really spoke to me about the importance of community and service as part of the Christian journey. And so I was delighted when that was included in The Faith We Sing, when that hymnal came out a few years ago. And Here I Am, Lord, is a hymn that became important to me while I was in college. As a sense of God is asking something of each of us, and it is up to us to respond. And so for years I have sung that hymn with all the memories of my experiences in college and since then, of my desire to serve God and my desire to pursue the path of ordination. And at ordination, it was the closing hymn. And at the end of that service, the bishop issues a call for any who have been feeling God's tug on their heart to come forward and be in prayer with others about a call to ministry. And as we were standing there in a service where there had been several things that did not go exactly as planned, which is still sometimes difficult for me. I like things to go smoothly and according to plan, and well, we're human, and things don't always do that. But at the end of this service, we sang Here I Am, Lord, and I was filled with this sense of overwhelming joy that all these years I had been singing, Here I Am, Lord, if you're calling me, I'll go, I think. I think I'm willing to do that. Just let me make sure and show me the way and provide me some guidance. And now here it was, the fulfillment of all of that potential, and it really was happening, and I was really doing it, and I really am doing it and continuing in ministry here with all of you and also in my nonprofit work with Family Voices Colorado. And so as I think back over my life and the way that God has called me to be in the world, I come back to Parker Palmer's book, Let Your Life Speak. And the title of that comes from the idea that calling isn't something that comes completely externally to us. It's not something arbitrary, that God has some great organizational chart, and regardless of what you enjoy doing or feel good at, God is going to plunk you in somewhere because that's what God wants. Instead, Palmer says that God creates us with purpose. God creates us with gifts and passions and ways that we feel whole in our work in the world. And God's desire is that we are all working together for a world of love and justice, compassion and peace, but we all have some say in the matter of how we participate in that work. And so in this ministry, I have found where my heart's deep joy meets the world's deep need. And I find that a ministry of word and service, the ministry of a deacon, is in some ways the most logical choice, as well as a choice of the heart and spirit. And so as I finish today, I want to remind you that all followers of Jesus are called to ministry in the world by virtue of your baptism. You are all called to some form of service, to working for God's kingdom, for a world where the good news of God's love and our love for one another shine forth. And so I would invite you to consider, how will you answer the call? Amen.